This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas, presented by U Mobile.
Today we welcome Dato' Choy Wai Hin, Group Managing Director of Federal International Holdings, which is in the furniture business and also the property construction sector. Good morning, Dato', and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Chun Han. Thanks for having me back again.
Oh, it's our pleasure, Dato'. Now, your last appearance on the Breakfast Grill perhaps came under rather pleasant circumstances. In early 2016, your share prices had tripled to about 1 ringgit and 14 cents per share, but since then, they have lost about 3/4 of their value, now hovering at just about 30 cents per share or so. So give us an overview, what's happened at Federal International Holdings between your Breakfast Grill appearances?
A lot has happened since we last spoke. For a start, the name of the company, after close to 45 years in existence, is no more Federal Furniture Holdings Berhad. As of May this year, we are formally known as Federal International Holding Berhad, FIHB, that reflects the new direction of the listed company going forward. So that's one. Associated with that, of course, a few things has happened on the corporate front. We completed the acquisition of 100% stake in a construction company called Pembinaan Masdron. We have also, on the furniture front, we have started operations recently in November of last year in Bangalore, India, to support one of our big customers' expansion in that part of the world.
All right. Well, Dato', it sounds pretty exciting there. You've got overseas expansion, a new name, and also diversification into a new sector there. But shareholders don't seem to be buying it, though, you know, because, again, pointing at your share prices, they have just been headed one way, and that's down. So what do you think shareholders are not getting from the messaging you're sending out?
I think you pointed out earlier that our share prices was an all-time high in 2016. That is basically a function of, if you cast your mind back during those times, most exporters, and in particular exporters of furniture whose main revenue source were denominated in US, were, how shall I say, the darling of the stock exchange during that time. This is one of those things that I think does not fundamentally change the businesses of those companies, but as far as the exchange is concerned, seems to get people all excited. And that kind of drives the share price because it drives perception. Fundamentally, if you ask me as the CEO of Federal, nothing has changed fundamentally, significantly, in the sense that we are still in the business of making furniture and exporting them. It's just that 4 years ago, we would have gotten a little bit more ringgit in exchange for the US dollars that we bill in. Our exports continue to be strong. We continue to service our customers. And how that gets reflected into our share prices through my various exchanges with groups of stakeholders, I find is a very complex combination of many factors. Perception being the main driver, and perception not of a company per se sometimes, perception of even the industry, perception of the economy, perception of where the global economy is going, that kind of thing.
You have three main contributing units under the group. So one is furniture manufacturing and trading, second, renovation and interior design, ID, and third, construction. So earlier this year, you have been on this campaign to get this message out that you're going to be relying more on construction moving forward, right?
Absolutely.
How is that possible given the kind of oversupply that we have seen in the property sector? Across residential, commercial, etc., there's an overhang, yet you want to rely more on property construction to drive the growth of Federal International Holdings.
Absolutely. Well, what you've just said generally is correct, and I am very happy to be able to explain why is it that Federal International Holdings say that going forward, at least for the next 24 months, maybe even 36 months, our top and bottom line will indeed be driven by construction. How can that be when everybody is saying the construction, which is actually a direct proxy of the infrastructure and the property development segment in Malaysia is facing challenges. How can that be? Well, the reason is this. Back in 2016, we decided to acquire Pembinaan Mas Terun at that time for 60% of the equity. We completed the balance of the 40% acquisition in 2017. When we made that decision, Pembinaan Mas Terun at that time had an order book, confirmed order book of 300 odd million, of which about 243 million at the point of acquisition were contract that's ongoing and yet to be built. So here we have a construction company with a order book cast in stone of 240 million yet to be completed. And those 243 million would be completed progressively over the next 18 months. On top of that, this company, at the point when we acquire that initial 60% share back in November of 2016, were in the process of final negotiation for about 450 million ringgit worth of construction projects. Mm-hmm. And these are over and above the regular bidding and tendering that it does.
So what's the order book right now then? What's the latest figures you have and how long will it last you for?
Okay, very good question. The order book currently stands at 200 million because that 240 million at the start of the acquisition has been progressively constructed and therefore built, right? I'm very happy to report that progressively the 400 odd million of contracts under final negotiation is being awarded. In fact, the first 76 million of that has just recently been awarded, and Pembinaan Federal, as it is now known, has just started work on site. If we look at a, let's just say, a 24 to 36-month time horizon, just based on the numbers that I've just mentioned, I think the people at Pembinaan Federal will be quite busy having their hands full completing execution of those 200 million of projects, and to also to complete the negotiation of that 400-odd million. So within the next 36 months, I'd say, we are pretty well set. And this is not counting for new opportunities that's going to come along the way within the next 3 years. As we stand right now, this is the position of Pembinaan Mas Terun Federal.
And where are you going to see those new opportunities come from?
Okay, the reason we injected Pembinaan Mas Terun into Federal was that this company basically is the de facto in-house construction outfit for a much larger entity called Mas Terun Sdn Bhd. This is actually a privately owned property developer. It's been in existence for close to 35 years, very active in Puchong area and recently into Kuala Lumpur as well. It has got a confirm gross development project value of close to 3 billion ringgit. So we are looking as the main in-house contractor, the builder for a developer with this kind of confirmed development projects, that going forward, a lot of the business will come from that.
So again, Pembinaan Mas Terun is the main contractor for the Mas Terun Group, which is the developer, which is not under your umbrella right
Absolutely
now.
Absolutely right.
Yeah, but then is there enough demand for project developments on the Mas Terun Group side to continue funneling revenue and profits down to Pembinaan Mas Terun?
Right. Again, before we took the step to acquire Pembinaan Mas Terun, now called Pembinaan Federal, we ask ourselves obviously the same question for the long-term prospect of the construction industry and therefore, by direct proxy, the property development segment in Malaysia. I believe that Malaysia is still a growth country. Our demographics is very young. Every year we have a lot of people coming into the job market and progressing towards buying their first car and their first homes. The fragmentation of the traditional Asian extended family under one roof give rise to a huge pent-up demand for a young population. So, macroly speaking, this is what we are looking at. A little bit more specific, if you look at the types of projects that Masteron Group is involved in, they are in that sweet, what they call the sweet spot of development. First-time home buyers, not quite the affordable housing, but one or two notches up, selling price of about 300 to 450 ringgit per square foot, entry level of in the region of half a million, catering to young professional families, people between 35 to 45 years old. So that is a growing market. That is the what I would call the non-speculative segment of the market. So given that there is, if you believe in the long-term prospect of the country and you believe that young growing population will need housing, there will of course be cyclical crests and troughs, but I think the long-term prospect for this industry is fairly good.
Now, that's a long-term prospect, right, like you mentioned. But what about currently, though, in the near term? Won't you just be adding to the current oversupply?
Not Pembinaan Master Federal.
Why not?
Because we are the contractor.
Okay. Well, okay, what about Masteron?
Well, Masteron, as I mentioned, if you are building properties or you're making goods, for that matter, for consumers who require them rather than for consumers who
speculate
in them, then there is a much better chance of success.
I'm speaking to Dato' Choy Wai Hin, Group Managing Director of Federal International Holdings, which again is in the furniture making business and exports and also in property construction. After the break, we'll consider more about your expansion strategy. So stay tuned right here to The Breakfast Grill on BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Breakfast Grill. I'm Tan Chung Han, and still with us is Dato' Choy Wai Hin, Group Managing Director of Federal International Holdings, formerly known as Federal Furnitures Berhad. So earlier you mentioned that you have expanded into Bangalore, I believe?
Yes, that's the furniture part of our business. So the Indian subcontinent is, as we all know, is a fairly exciting and fairly dynamic market now with a lot of growth potential. We are there basically in support of one of our larger customers, the Starbucks Corporation from Seattle. They have been doing great stuff in India in conjunction with the joint venture partner Tata. We are very happy to say that as a result of their expansion plans in India, we have now the opportunity to play a big role as part of their supply chain to support their store openings there. We are certainly correctly put as a strategic vendor.
You are the strategic vendor in more than 10 countries in Asia Pacific?
I would say more than 17.
Okay.
And growing by the year. It's very dynamic because of the expansion of Starbucks. They are constantly pushing the envelope, and we along with them as one of their strategic vendors.
Here in Malaysia, Starbucks is obviously on an expansion spree as well. So what about your growth prospects for Malaysia then? There are plans to add some 25 to 30 new Starbucks stores here in Malaysia. How significant is that for Federal International Holdings?
As part of the Asia-Pacific region, Malaysia obviously is one of them. It accounts for perhaps 20-odd percent of the stores that we ship out year on year to the 17-odd countries in the APAC region.
Well, Malaysians really love their Starbucks, eh?
Oh, yes, yes. Oh. Malaysia is a great coffee-loving culture.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's Starbucks, that's on your furniture manufacturing side. But there have been some failed ventures, if I may call it that. So perhaps some of our listeners are familiar with Kitchen Plus, that massive 11,000 square feet showroom over there in Mutiara Damansara. You had to close it down, and that happened, I think, a couple of years ago.
Yes.
Why? What happened there?
Well, I actually came on BFM in 2012 to talk about Kitchen Plus. which was at that time our strategic foray into the retail business. We have never been a retailer. In our 50-odd years in existence as a furniture company, with the exception for the first 5-6 formative years, we have always grown as a first a manufacturer, then a fit-out contractor. So I've always wanted to expand into the retail segment. And so in 2015, we made the plunge with the startup of Kitchen Plus. And we were hoping that with that, we will be able to establish a third leg to our furniture division. But unfortunately, after 3.5 years of trying, we found a few things. We found, A, that the retail market in Malaysia is highly challenging. But more importantly, we found that we really do not have the skill set to sell furniture to the general public. It is very different from being able to manufacture furniture, we have found out since.
Well, it didn't help that Kitchen Plus was open just up the street from IKEA.
Well, that in fact, that was a strategy to be there. We were offering ourselves as a very, very good alternative to IKEA. But again, this is something that did not pan out. As I say, after 3.5 years, we decided to focus our energies and our capital elsewhere.
What about moving online?
We thought about that. Moving online, you then have to decide whether you are going to be a technology company or are you going to be a manufacturer distributing your products with a technology partner is a bigger question.
Did you guys ask yourselves the question?
I am very daunted by the huge, huge capital required to have a significant native online presence. If somebody wants to give me 500 million ringgit to burn, I might consider that. But barring that, I think we will have to look elsewhere for our growth.
Really? It costs ½ a billion ringgit?
I mean, just a manner of speaking. Oh. I mean, to start a technology-based company to distribute to be able to make an impact.
Still, this apprehension that you display towards some of these new technologies, though, is somewhat indicative of the industry as a whole. And I think this is what the government is trying to press on. For example, the current government has spoken plenty about Industry 4.0. And one of the criticisms about local manufacturers is that they are not willing to move up the value chain. How does Federal International Holdings respond to such criticisms?
That's a very pertinent question. I just mentioned that we'll focus our energies and our capital elsewhere. And indeed, this is one of the areas where we will be, although not quite ½ a billion ringgit worth of it. But yes, Industry 4.0 is a critical success factor for manufacturers such as ourselves. It is driven by many, many factors, least of which is the requirement going forward from the market, from the customers. You need to be keyed in over the web and electronically with the supply chain of your international customers. And they themselves are installing and investing huge amount of money and time and energy into web-based information systems and so forth. So as a player within the supply chain of these international companies, you have to step up to the plate.
But will that make you a technology company then? Because I'm trying to square off what you just told me versus comments you made prior that, you know, you're daunted by the prospects of turning Federal International into a technology company. Yet you use phrases like, I need to be keyed in, web-based services.
Absolutely. We will always be a manufacturer of furniture. The use of technology to make our furniture does not make us a technology company. We need to invest in technology. Industry 4.0, by the way, is a huge catchphrase. If you ask 6 people, you get 6 different answers depending on which industry they are in. What constitutes Industry 4.0? For us, it means investing in people, processes, software and hardware that is able to communicate with each other and with our customers. That is my take on how Federal Furniture needs to invest in technology.
You also said investing in people, that's one of the legs to Industry 4.0 as you define it. So how does that feed into your headcount? Because I understand you have got about 200 staff members and 70% of them thereabouts are foreign workers. How will your company reduce your reliance on not just foreign workers but manual labor as a whole as you make that transition into Industry 4.0?
Absolutely, very pertinent. We have, in fact, an internal program to reduce the shop floor production workers from the current 100-odd to 80 within the next 18 months through the use of technology. One of these is we are adopting the latest in RFID technology that allows us to track the progress of our production and WIP through our shop floor and gives us real-time reporting. That reduces a lot of wastage. That also reduces a lot of downtime, which translate directly into needing less workers on the shop floor. Mm. On the other front, being in furniture and in manufacturing, we need to have very strong design and engineering people. And you just mentioned correctly about the human resources. I'm very proud to say that Federal, we actually have offshore design centers, not very big. We have, for instance, a team of four industrial designers based in Manila who work real-time through the internet with the team of seven designers in our main factory in Banting. Mm. We are in the process now of setting another offshore design and engineering center in Bangalore, where we just started our operations. The idea, which is through the use of internet and the latest technologies that allows collaboration and online meetings, that in effect, at any one time, we have access, direct and real-time access, to a team of industrial designers numbering close to 25, but they're all scattered in Malaysia, in Philippines, and in India. So this is just a small aspect of how we are trying to leverage on the current development in technologies.
How soon will we see robots manufacturing furniture for Federal International Holdings?
We are still quite a ways off from that. There are a few reasons.
Capital outlay?
One of them, it is. Of course, technology and the cost of technology comes down quite rapidly. So we are surely looking for the time in not too distant future where robotics being applied to making of furniture will be cost effective.
Well, certainly an interesting time for your sector there. We certainly wish you all the best. Thank you so much for your time and your insights. That was Dato' Choy Y. Hin, Group Managing Director of Federal International Holdings. I'm Tan Chung Han, and this is The Breakfast Grill right here on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, Frost & Sullivan Malaysia's Mobile Data Service Provider of the Year.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.